tribes of Israel and looking at the different theories of where they went or what happened to them. And also we talked about the rock. We know what the rock is now. That rock that Jacob used as a pillow was taken during the Exodus by the Israelites, and it was always somewhere in Israel. And I said that this stone wound up being in England because the prophet Jeremiah took it with him to England. And I'm going to read this thing that Pat already has read, but Liz hasn't read, and Mandy hasn't read, and it's about one revelation that Glenn Miller from Lake Hamilton Bible Camp had about this tongue. And I'm going to read part of this here, and I'm going to give you a copy of all this, what you have. He said, "I have always from my youth heard about the 10 lost tribes, and I have heard some say that they are the gypsies. However, an unusual happening in Westminster Abbey in London, England, has since launched me to study the facts. In November of 1965, while a tour guide was telling us the history of the coronation chair and this stone under it, which is Jacob's pillar, or the stone of scone, God spoke to me audibly. He said, 'That's truth, that's truth, that's truth,' three times over my left shoulder in a very loud voice, which no one else seemed to hear. It felt like all the hair on my body was standing on end. This caused me to ponder and begin studying what that truth is." So, when the tour guide was saying, "This is the stone that was Jacob's pillow and Jacob's pillar," the Lord told him, "That's truth, that's truth, that's truth." Now, if the Lord said it, that's truth. And I don't doubt for a moment, because this man is a man of God. Glenn Miller is a man of God. And we know that God speaks to us. So God spoke to him. I have no doubt about it. And if God told him that that's a stone, then the Lord was confirming history. He was confirming history as it's written. So he then, in this, starts talking about all the tribes of Israel, and he says there's 13 tribes, because there were, of course, the tribe of Levi, and then the two half-tribes. So, yeah, there are 13 tribes. But now this, he says here, Revelation chapter 7, starting with verse 5, let us count the tribes. Verse 5 says, Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtalim, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Ephraim, the birthright tribe, Benjamin, and who is missing? That is the number 13, Dan. Says, I have heard many theories, but no scripture. It is written to prove the theory. But Revelation shows that there are 13 tribes. I have also found in my study of that truth, in both the Bible and secular history, that 13 tribes were carried away by the Assyrians and not just 10. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, in approximately the year 720, carried away captive approximately 10 and one half tribes of the children of Israel because of their rebellion, never to return. So in 2 Kings 18, verses 9 to 12 says, And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And that's the north kingdom. And at the end of 3 years, they took it, even in the sixth year of Hezekiah. That is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel. Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria and put them in Hala and in Habor by the river Gozan and in the cities of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. So he says, who did the Assyrians carry away? Reuben, Gad, Aser, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Issachar, Dan, Zebulun, Joseph, Ephraim, and approximately half of the tribe, not the half tribe, but half of the tribe of Levi. 10 years later, in 710 before Christ, there is a new king in Assyria by the name of Sennacherib. And verse 13 of chapter 18 of 2 Kings tells us that he came up against all of the fenced cities of Judah and took them. Who lived in those cities? Judah, Benjamin, and the rest of the tribe of Levi. So all 13 tribes are now carried away captive, not just 10. What is right? The tradition we have been taught, or it is written, all have been carried away captive except the remnant that is left in Jerusalem. What happens to this remnant of approximately 1 million Israelites, and why are they left? 125 years later, 585 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon took Jerusalem and carried away approximately 1 million Israelites of the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and the Levites, the remnant that was left by the Assyrians, to fulfill the prophecy of Jeremiah in chapter 25 and verse 12. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, says the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. And in Jeremiah 29:10, for thus says the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. And Daniel 9 verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now, 70 years, you can have about two generations or three generations being born. Isaiah prophesies in chapter 44, verse 28, approximately 200 years before he is born, that Cyrus will be king of Babylon and will let all who want to of the remnant of Judah, Benjamin, and the Levites to return to Jerusalem. That says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. In 2 Chronicles 36, 22 and 23, it says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth has the Lord God of heaven given me, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Ezra chapter 1:1-3. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. So Cyrus, king of Persia, believed in the same God that the Israelites believed in, our God. Why? When the remnant of Judah, Benjamin, and the Levites were told by King Cyrus that they could return to Jerusalem, didn't they go? Because they were satisfied in captivity. Well, these people were already settled there. They had homes there. They had been working in their trades. They had had families. They were grandparents and great-grandparents by that time. And their kids were not speaking the Hebrew language anymore. They were speaking the language of the people there. And who knows, they might have been even intermarrying. I don't know how much they adhered to their religion, but they were there. A remnant had to return and bring the records of a genealogy, so they would be in the temple when Jesus was born. Micah had prophesied 700 years before the birth of Jesus that he would be born in Bethlehem. And he was. Micah chapter 5 verse 2, But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be a little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. In 70 AD these records were forever destroyed. By scripture we have followed a remnant to Babylon and back to Jerusalem and the birth of Jesus. So we have now that not all of Judah came back to Judah. Some stayed back there. What has happened to the main body of the 13 tribes? In another issue of Voices from His Excellent Glory, we will ponder this thought and see if history cancels this so-called mystery of what happened to the house of Israel. Now this is the next issue. 70 years later, a small remnant under Ezra returned, and you have read Ezra. Ezra returned with some Jews to build the temple. And then Nehemiah returned with some Jews to build the walls of Jerusalem. There were twins born to Judah by his daughter-in-law, Phares and Sarah. Those were the two boys. One was Phares and the other one was Sarah. Through the descendants of Phares came the Messiah, Jesus. About the time of the Exodus out of Egypt led by Moses. Now we're going...
Could you spell Phares and
Sarah? A-R-E-Z, as in zoo, that's Pharaohs.
And Sarah is...
And Z-A-R-A-H. Pharaohs in Spanish is Pérez, which is a very abundant last name. It's like Smith in English. Pérez. Okay. Through the descendants of Pharaohs came the Messiah, Jesus. About the time of the Exodus out of Egypt led by Moses, and this is not clear in the Bible, some of the family of the Sarahites, of Sarah, migrated to northeast Spain. And we can follow their migration by the tracks that they left. And this is very important. They named the river Ebro, which is one of the main rivers, I think there's two main rivers in Spain. E-B-R-O, Ebro. In Spanish, it's Ebro. But this is a short form of Hebrew. So they call that river the Hebrew River. And as they migrated up the river, which has its headwaters almost at the Atlantic Ocean, they founded towns that carry Hebrew names, such as Zaragoza, which is named after Sarah. A major city to this day, named for their ancestor, Sarah. All of northern Spain and southern France are descendants of the tribe of Judah through Judah's son, Sarah. Some also migrated onto Wales and Ireland in the British Isles. At this same time, there was a migration of a portion of a tribe of Dan to Greece. Now, here's a map of Spain, and this is a modern map of Spain, and you're going to see on the right-hand upper corner, right-hand, there is a city of Zaragoza, named Zaragoza to this day. And because of the south part of France is at the same height as the north part of Spain, that's why they were spread in that area. Here in the south part of Spain is Toulouse, where my mother's family came from. Here's, just keep both maps there so you can refer to it there. So some also migrated onto Wales and Ireland in the British Isles. Now, if you look at the map of France, you can see that if they walked north and started to settle to the north, and they got to the north coast of France, it wasn't very far from England. And if they had boats for fishing, they could easily get to England there. It's not very far at all. Remember, we have 13 tribes that have been carried away captive, with just a remnant of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi left at Jerusalem, who were carried away to Babylon. When the tribes were carried away, the area of what we now call Europe, the Scandinavian countries, and the British Isles, they already knew about. How do we know this? Now, we talked, we started talking about the Isles and how many times in scriptures the Isles are mentioned. And it could be all of the Isles of the Mediterranean, and it included the British Isles too. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 1. Listen, O Isles, unto me, and hearken, you people from far. This is inferring to the British Isles. How do we know this? 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 14 says, Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold. A biblical talent of gold weighed 125 pounds of gold. This is 12,500,000 pounds of gold. Now David also had to have tin, because gold will not adhere or stick to other material, such as being put on the walls or over the lampstands, without tin. So for the whole building of the, and also the building of a tabernacle, not only the temple, the first temple was Solomon's temple, but the tabernacle had a little bit of gold also in the furniture and the ark and all that. And they needed tin to lay gold over it. Gold will not adhere or stick to other materials, such as being put on the walls or over the lampstands, without tin. Where did David get such a large quantity of tin that was required for Solomon? From the Tin Isles, also known as the Islands of Ahapi. We know this area today as Wales in the south of England. David owned the tin mines of Wales And there was a colony of Israelites working the mines for King David, from which they also get lead. These mines were still in the family in Jesus' days, owned by his uncle Joseph of Arimathea. That's where Joseph's money came from. How do we know this and also who he was? Mary could not claim Jesus' body as a woman had no rights. Roman law said that only a near of kin could claim a crucified body. If no near of kin claimed the body, it was buried in a common grave. Joseph was given the body without question. English historical records show that Joseph Arimathea owned the mines and that sometime after the day of Pentecost, Joseph has arrived in England in approximately 35 AD with two sisters, Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, Marcella, their maid, Mary Magdalene, Trophimus, the man who was born blind, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. They went to England because Joseph did a lot of traveling to England. And he probably already had a house there because, I mean, he had to go and check on his mines. Joseph was known as a metal merchant and owned sailing vessels. When Joseph and his party arrived in Britain, he was met by King Arviragus, who gave Joseph, now Arviragus is not, doesn't sound English, does it? Because they didn't speak English at that time in England. Arviragus, who gave Joseph 12 hides of land. This is after he came with all this party, with all these people. He gave him 12 hides of land, approximately 1,900 acres, which included the Isle of Avalon, tax-free to this day. This royal charter of land to Joseph is recorded in the records of Volume 1, of the Domesday Survey Folio, page 249b. Joseph built what is considered the first Christian church in the British Isles. The Somerset Archaeological Society has found in their excavations of a Glastonbury Abbey, which burned in 1184 AD, the remains of this church, which was called the Wattle Church. It had a circular diameter of approximately 25 feet with 12 circular huts built in a circle around the church. I guess for each apostle. Approximately 700 years before Jesus, now let me read that again, 700 years before Jesus, the 13 tribes were carried away captive by the kings of Assyria. They knew about the 10 isles, also known as the Islands of Ahapi. They begin to migrate northeast through the pass known as the Iron Gate. As they migrated, they named the rivers and towns after their tribes. Now, this migration was a slow migration. Some were on foot, some were on horse. It's not like we would travel today. So they would have to stay, and sometimes they might have settled for half a year or so. They probably could only move depending on where they were in the summer. So they had time to name rivers and name lakes. And some of them might not continue. Some of them might settle and not want to move. So they named the rivers and towns after their tribes, especially the tribe of Dan. An example of it is the Danube River, the Danaper, the Don Rivers, and Danmark or Denmark. So they left a trail of names. The tribe of Reuben, referred to as Rabens, are also as Ribuari. They're the Franks of Gaul. And it's funny because when I studied antique history, all these tribes that were invading and taking people captive, they were all Jewish people invading each other. Naphtali, also known as Naphtalite Huns, migrated mainly to Norway. So these were the ones that were called the Huns. It was a tribe of Naphtali, and they went to Norway. Benjamin, the major portion of the tribe of Benjamin, was carried away by the second invasion of the Assyrians and became a part of the other 10.5 tribes previously taken captive. And as they sojourned into Eastern Europe, they became the Normans of France and the Walloons of Belgium.
Okay, Eastern Europe.
Yeah, but I'm going to give you a copy of this, or you have a copy of this, so you don't have to take notes.
Okay.
You have it from the Lake Hamilton Bible Camp?
Yeah.
Well, Asher or Aser immigrated into and became a part of the Scandinavian countries. Gad was the Goths or Geta. They settled mainly on the Baltic coast, and they invaded because the Goths invaded other tribes and other countries. Zebulon, also known as the Sabalingoi, or people of Zebulon, and was predominant in Holland and the Netherlands. Issachar was predominant amongst the Swiss and also in Finland. Levi, the children of Moses, sojourned to Gabalk, meaning Western Europe, and the far west to Jabarka in the islands of Ahapi, which is the British Isles. Simeon is found as the Simwin of Ireland, the Simeni of Wales, the Simoni of Celtic Britain, or Celtic Britain, and the Samonites of Brittany, and the Shimeon amongst the Irish and Welsh. Now he says in the following thing about the stone of Scone, upon which all the kings and queens of Ireland, Scotland, and now the kings and queens of England have set upon, and is under the coronation chair when they have been crowned. The tour guide say, tradition says that this is Jacob's pillar that he slept on when he saw the angels ascending and descending, and that this is the stone that the children of Israel carried in the wilderness, from which the water came out of when Moses struck it with his staff. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And he said that Jeremiah, the white-headed prophet, brought it with him when he came to Ireland with his scribe Baruch and with the king's daughter, Princess Titephi. So let us continue our search for that truth that was spoken to me 3 times that day in November 1965 in Westminster Abbey, and has led me on the journey to search both scriptures and history to find the answer that God told me was truth. And in my research, I have found that both the scriptures and history are giving the answers to the ancient questions of who and where are the so-called lost tribes of Israel that have never been lost to history. They were lost in the Bible, but not in history. Jeremiah was ordained to be a prophet to the nations before he was born. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5 says, before I found thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of a womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. In Jeremiah chapter 43, and verses 6 and 7, it says, even men and women and children and the king's daughters, more than one, and every person that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch the son of Neriah. So they came into the land of Egypt. The rest of Jeremiah's life we find in secular history. And I have been researching these scriptures too, and that is about the end of Jeremiah. It doesn't say anything else about Jeremiah. History tells us that Jeremiah, Baruch, and the king's daughters, that I believe were his great-granddaughters, traveled to northeast Spain, where a portion of the tribe of Judah, of the descendants of Sarah, one of the sons of Judah, had migrated to at the time of departure out of Egypt under Moses. Most of the inhabitants of northern Spain and southern France are present-day descendants of Judah's son, Sarah.